Now, our lead pastor, Eddie Swan, will share a message from the Word of God.
Make this proclamation. This is the Word of God. I will choose to believe it over my circumstances. I will choose to trust it whether I see the results immediately or not. This is God speaking to me today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Today, I'm continuing the message series entitled Regardless. Remember, Regardless is a study through the book of Philippians, the letter to the Philippian church the Apostle Paul wrote while he was in prison awaiting trial. I use the word regardless as the title to the series because this is a message, a series about spiritual growth and how God wants us and desires us to grow spiritually. And Paul is writing this in a prison cell regardless of his circumstance, okay? And I remember I told you the word regardless just simply means without paying attention to the present situation, right? How many of you live your life regardless of your present situations? None of you. All of us live our lives based on our current situations. We live our lives out of fear. We live worrying. Anybody in here ever have fear or worry at all? Anxiety, a little anxiety going on. Yeah, lots of us, and those of you who are not raising your hand, not telling the truth. And so you have to deal with Jesus. I don't have to tell you. Week number one of the series, I talked about the fact that spiritual maturity happens in us when we realize that it's God that causes us to grow. His word says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, that he who began a good work in you will see it all the way to completion till the day of Jesus Christ. Listen, we have to understand that God's the one who started the work, and God's the one who will finish the work. Amen? Week number two, I talked about the fact that spiritual maturity happens as we humble ourselves before God. In James chapter 4, verse 10, it says that if you humble yourselves before God, he will lift you up. When we decide we're going to humble ourselves before God, it is God that promotes us. It is God that lifts us up and grows us up, but it happens through humility. You must go down before you can go up. Amen? Week number three, last week I talked about living forward. So often, I said this last week, when we talk about living outside of our past and living forward, often we are referring to the things we have regrets for. Anybody have some regrets? Don't raise your hand. Anybody have some regrets in your past? And most of the time, we're referring to the things that we regret or the things we could change or we wish we could do over. And so often, you've heard me say this before, I've often pondered the question, if I could go back and change one thing, which one would it be, right? And I had the laundry list of things I wish I could change, but I can't because it's the past. But then there's another side of that coin, and it's the side of the coin called accomplishment. And so some of us have accomplishments, degrees and trophies and rings and things that we could puff our chest out and say, look what I did. And those things can be as much a hindrance to walking with God as your regrets. And so all of those things, we learn to put them in their proper place and we begin to live forward because it's out there in front of us where God has a destiny for us. Amen? Today, I want to talk to you about this thing. I call it the Great Exchange. In Philippians chapter 4, there's this supernatural phenomenon that takes place when we decide we're no longer going to live bound by we're gonna do in spite of where we are. We're gonna live regardless of the situations we face. Things that may cause fear, anxiety, worry, angst. We're not gonna be affected by those things anymore. We're gonna live regardless of those things, and we're gonna make this great exchange. Now the exchange is my fear, anxiety, and worry for this thing called peace. Anybody need some of that? And we want to walk out full of that instead of the other things that we came in with. Amen? Amen? The word anxious, if you look it up in the dictionary, just simply means full of mental distress or uneasiness because of fear of danger or misfortune or being greatly worried. Do we have any worriers in the house? Anybody worry about everything? My mother-in-law, wonderful woman, but worried about everything. And her first response was always, oh boy. When she would hear news that even had the potential to be bad, she'd be like, oh boy. Like, no, it's okay. Nothing bad happened yet. No, I know, but oh boy, that could be bad. That was her immediate response. She was conditioned that way. But Paul here in Philippians 4 unlocks for us this incredibly powerful tool that if we'll make this great exchange today, the next time you have a situation arise that could cause worry, fear, anxiety, you're going to exchange it for God's peace. I'm going to show you how to do that today. Turn, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4. And we're just going to study, really, these four verses in chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Let me read them to you. Look what he says. Paul, writing from the prison cell, says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Now, I love what he does here. He puts a period there, and he says, I'll say it again. Rejoice, with a big exclamation point. In other words, if you didn't get it the first time, let me tell you a second time and tell you with emphasis. Verse 5, he said, "Let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near." Verse 6, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And here's the exchange, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Listen, when we follow the simple guidelines that Paul gives us here in these verses that I just read, we get to grow some more and become more mature spiritually, regardless of the circumstances that we're facing. The great exchange is you exchanging these things that cause anxiousness, worry, and fear for God's. Here it is, unexplainable peace. Anybody want some unexplainable peace? The great exchange happens. We're going to dive right in to your handouts this week. The great exchange happens when we, first and foremost, when we rejoice regardless. When you rejoice regardless of what you're going through. How many of you rejoice regardless of what you're going through? Man, I just got fired from my job. Hallelujah! Woo, man, it's going to be a great day. Y'all like, I wish. Here's the question. Do you rejoice, right? In every situation, regardless of what's happening around you. Doubtful, because as human beings, God equipped us with these things called emotions. And so you having emotional responses is not wrong. It's just, how are you using them, and in what context are you using them? Let me help you. So what happens is you find out you're at work and you're in a down economy, and you realize, man, our business has been slow. We don't know what we're going to do. And you hear your bosses talking, man, if things don't turn around, if things don't pick up pretty soon, we're going to have to start laying people off. You can do two things. One is you can begin to rejoice right where you are. God, thank you so much for the job that I have today. Or you can be like, oh no, I just bought a new car. What's going to happen? I'm not going to be able to pay for it. They're going to come take it from me. Or my kids just started private school. How am I going to pay for that private school? Oh my God. And you can take that to an extreme by simply getting wrapped up in the moment and in the news. Amen? Now, when that scenario happens, instead of worrying of what might be, what if we just started rejoicing right where we are? God, I thank you. That God, you're right. I don't have the answer for tomorrow, but I know who does. And I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to thank you for where I am today. And I'm going to rejoice in what today brings, God. I can't change tomorrow. I have no control over tomorrow, but I know you do. And so I'm going to begin to thank you and trust you. And I'm not going to let anxiety rob me of rejoicing. You know what I've learned about rejoicing? When I decide that I'm going to rejoice in spite of my circumstance, you know what happens? My circumstances all of a sudden don't look so big. I have literally rejoiced myself out of anxious moments. I want you to know, I'm just like you. There are things that happen in my life that cause anxiousness, cause thoughts of worry, anxiety, and I begin to think, how's this going to work, and how are we going to... You know, I don't have to figure it out, because I know who has all the answers to all the questions that I'll ever have. By the way, his name is Jesus, amen. Just in case you didn't know. The word rejoice, just in the Greek, is the Greek word kairo. It just means to be cheerful. Anybody cheerful when they're going through some stuff? Oh, thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that my car broke down today right on the interstate and it's 150 degrees. Oh, I'm so thankful I get to push it to the gas station. Said no one ever. But I love what Paul does. He didn't just say rejoice once. He says it a second time. In case you didn't get it the first time, let me say it again to you. Rejoice. And why does he do it? Because he wants us to be doubly cheerful for the things we go through. Oh, I can't even be a little bit cheerful for the things I'm going through. You want me to be doubly cheerful? Yes. Why? Because if I'm doubly cheerful for the things I'm going through, you know what I can't be? Anxious. I've literally rejoiced myself right out of anxiousness, and you can too. The next time an anxious moment happens, just simply start thanking the Lord, giving the Lord some praise for what you already have and for where you already are. In 2 Thessalonians, Paul begins to commend the church at Thessalonica for their faith and their perseverance through persecutions and trials. Look what it says in 2 Thessalonians 1:4. Paul says, therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you're enduring. As you go through trials and tribulations, are you rejoicing? Are you doing it cheerfully? Or are you doing it begrudgingly? All right, God, I'm going to go through this, but I ain't too happy about it. I'm going to tell you right now, I'll put a smile on my face, but I'm going to tell you on the inside, I am unhappy. You know, I want you to know, God is okay with you not being okay. But he wants you to learn to rejoice right where you are and whatever it is that you're going through. And so if we just learn to rejoice, I promise you that thing that you're facing won't seem so big. The second thing that we have, spiritual maturity begins to happen when we make this great exchange. When this happens, when spiritual fruit in our life becomes evident. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 5, he says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. The word gentleness is the Greek word epiketus, and it means in moderation or in patience. Anybody need a little help with some patience? I'm raising my hand because I am the one who needs help with patience. I have discovered about myself and many other Christian people my kids will look at me like, over the years, that the closer I get to Jesus, the more the spiritual fruit becomes evident. The closer I draw to Jesus, the more they can see him and not me. You know what? My desire is to stomp that flesh so far down that the only thing that you're going to see is the Jesus in me. I don't want the flesh to come out, but boy, it sure is hard to get rid of. It's like bad grass, right? You ever get some weeds in your yard? I've tried everything on these weeds, and I cannot kill them. I put like the extra 365 Roundup. And like that, them suckers will shine right on through, you know. That's what our flesh is like. Our flesh is like bad grass, like a weed that we can't get rid of. But I promise you want to get rid of it? Here's the solution. Draw closer to Jesus. You know, spiritual fruit is a lot like the muscles in your body. If the only exercise that you ever get is you sitting on the couch with your feet up and a remote control and you're going like this, guess what's going to happen? Your muscles are going to get smaller and weaker because they don't need to compensate for anything. But if you go out and you work hard or you go lift weights or you do something like that, your muscles will respond and grow accordingly to adapt to the situation. The same thing goes for spiritual fruit in your life. When spiritual fruit, or when you put your flesh through duress or through situations that can cause duress, what will happen is that spiritual fruit can rise up if you will allow it to. What's spiritual fruit? What is what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. As these things grow and become more prevalent, what starts to happen is the flesh that counteracts them begins to diminish and gets weaker and weaker and weaker. The fruit of the Spirit, again, the more we exercise it, the stronger it gets. We want people to see the fruit in us, not the flesh in us. And the closer you grow, or the more you grow, the more the fruit will be seen. And number three, anxiety has no hold in your life. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, the beginning of verse 6, it says, do not be anxious, look at the word, about anything. Now, does that mean everything? I'm pretty sure that it means everything. Do you think that Paul's leaving out anything? I don't think he's mincing words. He says literally everything in your life. Anxiety can have no hold in any part of your life. Now, how could Paul write that while he's in a jail cell awaiting a sentence that could possibly take his life? Did he know something that you and I don't know? I think he did. I think he understands and realizes that Jesus is the one holding on to him and that there's no need for him to worry, no need for him to be anxious. If they decide to take my life, then I will spend eternity with Jesus in heaven and I have nothing to worry about. See, when you know and understand that, to that level, there's nothing on this earth that can rob you of your peace. The word anxious is the Greek word marineo, and it means to be careful or to take thought. Think about anxiety. Anybody, just be honest, anybody ever been anxious about something? What does it do? Anxiety literally consumes your thought. I've been anxious about things and driven from one place to another and don't know how I got there and hope that I stopped at red lights along the way. I look at my car. Well, I don't have any dents and scratches, and I didn't hit nobody, so I guess I'm okay. And because what happens is those consuming thoughts literally stop me from thinking about anything else. Don't allow those things to have control over you. Allow Jesus to have control over you. Because if the anxious thoughts do, you know what you can't think about? You can't think about Jesus either. You can't think about his peace because you're too consumed with your circumstance. And if we really trust God the way we say we really trust God, if he really is Jehovah Jireh, if he really is our the God who is provision in our lives, then we should be trusting him for everything. Even to get me out of or through the situation that I'm facing right now. What if we, instead of thinking about the possibilities of what could happen in the bad way, what if we started thinking about the possibilities of what could happen in a good way? Well, God, I know if this happens, but what if this happens and I get a promotion? Or what if this happens and you know, something greater happens? Well, that's the way we need to begin to think, not the other way. But for some reason, the human mind tends to want to go toward the negative. But we serve the God of the universe. We serve the God who has the cattle on 1,000 hills and who builds his streets out of gold. What are we worried about? The greatest force in the universe, and you're worried about somebody who called you a bad name. Somebody said something on the internet. They defamed me. They just got you good publicity, that's all. Because, you know, they said even bad publicity is good publicity. Say anything you want. You can't defame what God has already labeled. Anxiety has no place in my life. Number four, prayer becomes the first step, not the last resort. Now look what he said. Don't be anxious about anything in verse 6, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. How's your prayer life? Is your prayer life something there when you use out of necessity when things hit the fan? When life hits the proverbial fan, do you go, all right, Jesus, time for you to bail me out? Or do you wake up every day seeking the heart of God because you realize that the heart of God is going to lead you to the hand of God? Do you realize it's going to lead you to whatever he has for you, to the blessings he has for you? I want to connect with God because I want to know his plans. I want to know his purposes. I want to know the next step. I don't even want to take one step outside of the perfect will of God. Amen. You know the old saying, never met an atheist in a foxhole, because the bullets start flying, and the minute the bullets start flying, you're like, oh, Jesus, time to bail me out. If that's when you pray, good luck with that. But you got to be praying every day. Why? Because you want to connect with the heart of the Father. Because I want to know his will for my life. I want to know his plans. I want to know the very next step he wants me to take. God, should I go this way or should I go that way? God, should I take this job? I know it sounds good. God, is this an opportunity for me or not? I want to know, and I want to know everything you have for me because I want what you want, not what I want. Prayer becomes a first step, not a last resort. And then finally, number 5, we get to choose peace. When we decide that prayer is going to become our first step, not our last resort, we get to choose peace. Look what he said in verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Listen, you know the exchange has taken place when you are no longer responding to tense situations in your life with anxiousness, but instead choosing peace in the midst. How many of you have been through a very tense, anxious situation or anxious time, and you had peace regardless of the situation? You know what? I can take you to so many instances in our life when the Lord called me from my business to come follow him in full-time ministry, and we sold our business rather quickly, almost miraculously that happened, and the Lord put me in ministry. And I'll never forget, they said, we can pay you $7,200 a year. I said, that's fine. Not 1 ounce of anxiety over somebody telling me that I was my annual paycheck was going to be $7,200. I did say, could you pay it in one lump sum so that I can ask Jesus to bless it like he did the loaves and the fish. Maybe he can multiply it because this ain't going to go very far. But I didn't. They gave it to me at $600 a month. That's what that is, $600 a month. And you know what the Lord did with that $600 a month? He literally multiplied it. We had two car notes and a house note and kids in private school and daycares and all those fun things, and we never went without. God took care. I never had to go to somebody and say, hey, listen, if you could help us because we're in a bad. Not one time. God continued to provide for us over and over and over. You know why? Because I decided to do it his way. I decided I wasn't going to worry, that I was going to trust him regardless of the situation. God, I'm going to choose your peace in the midst of a situation that most people would be shaking in their boots. But I'm not going to shake in my boots because I trust in you. $7,200 a year. Anybody in game for that? I have a job right now at New Beginnings. I pay you seven. Nobody's signing up. That's how you know you've made the great exchange. When the next anxious moment comes and the anxiousness comes in and goes out, and you're left with this incredible peace that you just quite frankly can't explain. I can't. My wife and I will look at each other. She goes, I can't explain it. And she's the worrier. Like, she's the worrier. And we would be looking at each other. She's like, I'm not worried. You worry. I'm not worried. We're good. You have the answers? No, I don't have the answers. Do you? No, I don't have them. But we know who does. And we would just lock hands in agreement and just walk on because we knew God had it. And he always does. Here's what we're going to do today. Would you stand with me? We're going to take Holy Communion today, kind of confirming and what I just spoke to you about, this great exchange, and we're going to hopefully leave here different than we came in. We're going to learn to rejoice regardless. We're going to learn that the great exchange happens when spiritual fruit becomes evident in our lives, when anxiety has no hold, when prayer becomes the first step, not the last resort, and when I decide to choose peace, regardless of my circumstances. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, for whenever you eat this bread or drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Now, you cannot proclaim the death of Jesus Christ without simultaneously proclaiming the life and victory of Jesus over death in the grave. Today, we're proclaiming to all areas anything that's trying to cause anxiety, anything that's trying to cause worry, strife, angst, things that are trying to rob you of the peace of God, we're saying to them, I'm standing with Jesus and he with me today. Here's what we're going to do. The Bible says of the body of Jesus, surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement that brought us peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Father, we thank you for your broken body, and we receive the complete healing of Jesus Christ in our bodies today, in our minds, and in our hearts spiritually, in Jesus' name. We can't forget about the blood. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, in him, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. The word redemption means the full and complete payment for our sins. When Jesus spilled his perfect, spotless, sinless blood for you. It was so perfect and so spotless and so sinless that not another drop would ever have to be spilled for you to have and receive his complete forgiveness. And all you have to do today is just receive it by faith, trusting in the finished work of Jesus on the cross. God, we thank you for your spilled blood. God, we realize, just like the Israelites did, that when they painted it on the doorposts of their houses, we paint this on the doorposts of our house, over our hearts today. We ask you to guard our hearts and guard our minds in Christ as we receive, once again, the confirmation of your of the covenant that you made with us by your blood, in Jesus' name. Now, Heavenly Father, as we prepare to go, my prayer for your people is that, God, the next anxious moment, the next anxious thought, God, that we would rejoice, that we would pray, that we would realize that it's this is not from you, that you have peace for us, that you set us at one again so that we can be at peace. And God, my heart's desire for these people is that they walk in peace regardless of the situations they face. God, growing and growing and growing as we go with you and for you, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. We'll see you next week.